When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
One, two, three.
So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Stu.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the biggest shit show in college sports. We've surpassed the shit show of college football. We're just college sports in general. I've been sick all weekend. I've been remote all week. So it's been a rough time for me. We'll get into the Rose Bowl later, though. As always, I'm here with Kiernan. Kiernan, how you doing, bud?
I am the same as you. I've been remote all week, and I'm sick. I don't know if you can tell in the microphone that I am, but yeah.
Not really. You sound pretty good.
Okay, well, that's good to hear, because I don't feel that way.
Yeah, no. I had 103-degree fever on Saturday.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, luckily, my girlfriend, once I test, she was here already. And she said, Kevin, if you test positive for COVID, though, I'm going to leave. Like, I'm going to go home. Totally fair. Tested negative for COVID twice on Saturday, once on Monday, and then one negative again today. So she stayed all weekend, went grocery shopping for me, brought me medicine, took care of me, made sure I drank my water, took my temperature, all that.
Oh, how sweet.
So also talk to you about...
Fuck off.
Well, you guys have been together a little longer. You guys live together. It's fine. No, it's but no, she also talked about taking me to the ER if my fever got any worse, because apparently at 104 you start getting brain damage.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would have been fun. I've already had enough brain damage.
Seriously. The amount of concussions that you've had?
If I was fine today from the concussions and then a fever took me out, I'd be pissed. I'd be fucking furious. The amount of bonks I've gotten in my life and a fever is what makes me a vegetable. I'd be furious.
Taken out by a fever.
Ridiculous.
I shouldn't be laughing, because that's a serious thing that happens to people, but it's just the way you phrased it was perfect.
Yeah, it taken out by a fever. Like, it's... Yeah. I could have said taken out by the fucking sniffles.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. All right.
Who's the president who gave a commencement address so long that he died? Oh, William Henry Harrison. That's who it was. I would feel like that motherfucker.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And obviously, you know, it was the 1800s. They didn't have good medicine. But I would have felt like that. I would be like, God damn it. Gone out the same way William Henry Harrison did. Except nobody would give a shit about me. Like, my family, friends would, but like in 100 years, nobody would know. Nobody would care.
Yeah.
Said William Henry Harrison is a fucking fact. Fun fact. But on to college football. I tried putting it off a little bit because I don't want to talk about it. But before we get into the games this weekend, non-college football people need to shut the fuck up about college football.
Mm-hmm.
And I know early in the year we talked about gatekeeping college football mm-hmm. and their fan bases, but for those who didn't see, Stephen A. Smith on First Take this week was complaining about the Rose Bowl traffic and said they need to move it to SoFi.
No.
Yeah, that's really the only response any college football fan would have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Rose Bowl has not been played in the Rose Bowl twice in its history.
And let me guess, two of those times were during World War One and or two.
One of them was during World War Two.
Nailed it.
It was like 1942, I think it was like right after the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Makes sense.
And the other one was 2020.
Makes sense. Yeah, perfect.
The first time they played it in North Carolina, the second time they played it at Jerry's World in Dallas. So, yeah. Alabama won that game. The 2021, not this one. Gonna fucking kill myself. But yeah, it's ridiculous. I hate how these people, and it's honestly, it's a big part of why we have this realignment now, why we have conferences dying. We have people who don't understand the history of college football trying to push their views of what it should be to fit how other sports are and how they want things to work.
Right. And it's ridiculous too, because those things that are things like the Rose Bowl, they're historic games and they should be kept historic by playing them in the same place, barring a catastrophe. So it's one of those things where it's like, yes, a pandemic, good excuse not to play, albeit, you know, different states and different, you know, feelings on COVID at the time. A war, that's a good time to maybe not play it or maybe not have it, you know, have it somewhere else. So I think it's ridiculous for people to try and move things around for whatever reason, because somebody doesn't like traffic. Like, it's a college football game. There's going to be traffic, whether it was in sunny California or freezing cold Iowa, you would have had traffic because people like to go and watch games.
For a game this important, yeah. Yes. No, there will be a shit ton of traffic. Also, Stephen A., you're in Los Angeles County. There is traffic.
Every day.
There will still be traffic if it's held at SoFi. Now, if you want to argue that it's the area around SoFi is better built for the traffic, okay. That's an argument that I can see. However, this is the difference in LA from sitting in traffic for 3 hours or 2.5 hours. Who gives a shit? Just plan accordingly.
Yeah, you're going to be pissed regardless. I guess you'd be pissed slightly less given the time duration, but you just, like, yeah. Who are you complaining to?
America. He wants America to change for him.
It's ridiculous.
He
has so many bad takes that I'm not even surprised at this one.
Yeah, I think Mad Dog even disagreed with him. I didn't watch the whole clip because I heard that and clicked off.
Yeah, stopped. Yeah,
I think even Mad Dog was like, "No, like,
yeah."
And this is a Mad Dog thing. Like, no, the way he's the opposite. He's like, "Well, the way things used to be, that was the right way to do it."
Yeah.
Like Larry Bird is the greatest player ever.
Yeah, which, all right, maybe not, but
I love Larry Bird. But yeah. No, come on. Don't be ridiculous.
That's too realistic.
White people from Boston, obviously, we love Larry Bird.
Yeah, of course.
But to say he's the greatest to ever do it, that's obviously Bill Russell with his 11 rings.
Correct. Yeah. I like how you dropped in the fact, or you didn't drop in the fact that he was also a Celtic.
Shh.
Nobody talk.
All right, can we get off college football for 1 second? Can we talk about Udonis Haslem?
Sure. I know nothing about him.
So the league mandated that Bill Russell's number 6 was going to be retired league-wide.
Okay.
Because of what he did for the civil rights movement in this country. He's a key figure in it, one of the key sports guys
okay.
in the civil rights movement. And Udonis Haslem was talking about it. He's like, "I'm sorry, but fuck you, Bill Russell. Why is your jersey retired in Miami? You never played for us." You know who else didn't play for the Miami Heat who had their jerseys retired? No. Michael Jordan and Dan Marino.
Well, there you go.
Why is Bill Russell the issue?
Yeah, he's one of those it's so dumb because it's just one number. Like, sorry you have to give it up. You know, apologies, yeah. But you know, like, what does it matter? He was a phenomenal basketball player, won 11 times, was complete. Not only important in the sports world, but also culturally and socially, and you're just like, get over it. Get like, it's like, it would be the same as protesting them making Jackie Robinson's number, you know, a problem. Like, nobody is complaining about that because everybody understands the significance of it.
Yeah, I think jersey numbers like that, like for great players who also had a significant cultural impact to that level. Like, Bill Russell is also, I believe, the first black coach. I know he's the first black coach to win a ring. I think that is very different than retiring a guy's jersey league-wide because he was really, really good. Like Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
I think the NHL retired his jersey just because he was good. Not downplaying Wayne Gretzky's greatness. But I think that's a little different. If you want to say, yeah, like, argue why we retired Michael Jordan's number just because he was really fucking good. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to talk about that with someone because it's insane. Speaking of greatness, J.J. McCarthy, after the Rose Bowl win this week, Jim Harbaugh said J.J. McCarthy is the greatest Michigan college football quarterback, and he specified college because he wasn't saying he was greater than Tom Brady. Cannon, what are your thoughts on this?
He's good. He's got his team to a national championship, certainly, but I wouldn't call him the greatest. I don't even think he's the greatest at Michigan, to be perfectly fair.
I think by Tuesday, January 9th, he has the potential to take the title.
Is that because Chad Henne never won a title at Michigan?
Yes.
That's fair. That's a fair point. And it that like brings up a larger argument. Like, what's more important, stats or championships? And both can be considered, you know, you could weigh one more than the other. But you do raise a good point that a championship would put him or solidify him over anybody else in that Michigan who's graced the Michigan locker room.
Yeah, and also, I think Chad Henne started all 4 years at Michigan.
Correct.
McCarthy hasn't. He's been there 3 years, and he did not start in 2021. Mm-hmm. I think if he had started in 2021 or stays another year, he'll have passed all of Henne's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's 3,600 and change yards behind him in career passing yards. He is off of him in career passing touchdowns by 38, so that would be tough to do. But still, in 2 years, he did that.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, if he had all four, he'd be sitting at 96. Completions. Again, about half, a little bit more than half of what Henne has. And I think the other guys on the list, John Navarre, Elvis Gerback, Devin Gardner. Devin Gardner was there fucking forever. 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. So 5 years, still insane. I do think legitimately that J.J. McCarthy could surpass Chad Henne, or not even Chad Henne. It could be Brian Griese was their last national champion winning quarterback. If you're going to argue, I think those are the teams you have to pick from. The 1901 to 04 teams, any of those, 1918, 23, 32, 33, 47, 48, or 97. That's where you're going to pick your greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are their national championship winning teams. Their claim natties.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone prior to the Berlin Wall even going up, let alone coming down, should count as your GOAT unless your program's fallen in some real hard times.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at the University of Chicago, who's now D3 but was a powerhouse back in the day, if they want to point to someone from that time, okay. But I do think J.J. McCarthy can cement his legacy as the greatest Michigan quarterback. If he does, that remains to be seen. We'll just talk about if I think that'll happen later on. But
well, here's the other thing is if he wins, if he wins the national championship and can safely be considered the greatest Michigan quarterback of all time, does he then try again in 2024 or go to the draft? And conversely, if he doesn't win, does he go to the draft or does he try one more year to get one?
I don't think he gives a shit, to be honest. And that's not a knock on him. That's it. I'm not saying he doesn't give a shit about Michigan. I'm not saying he doesn't give a shit about this game. I don't think he particularly cares if he's remembered as Michigan's greatest quarterback.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Yeah. All right.
I think that's the difference. I think if he wins, he's going to go, you know what? Perfect. I'm going to be remembered as at least a great quarterback from Michigan. Free drinks whenever I come back to Ann Arbor. Sick. I'm going to the draft. Now, if they lose, he might look at his draft stock and go, I'm projected a third rounder. I'll try to get one then.
Yeah.
See what I can do. Yeah. Because I feel like at this point last year, there was kind of a clear-cut guy that everyone's like, oh, he's the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knew Caleb Williams was going to be first this year. At this point, 2 years ago, people thought it was going to be like maybe Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, like one of those guys. I don't know if there is one for next year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like if Quinn Ewers, I think he said he's coming back. I'm not positive. If he goes, then yeah, it might be him. But I'm not really sure if there is anyone. And obviously, shit changes so quick now in college. A guy can have one great year, and he's the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's always difficult picking the right time for you to go into the draft for as a college kid. You're like, you know, I'm you know, listed as third. I'm projected as a third rounder, but all I need to do is win this game and I'm up at least a round and maybe a late first, you know, it'd be like one of those bizarre things. And it'll be interesting to see what he does after this game, win or lose. Cause I, you know, frankly, I think he should go. Well, maybe not. Frankly, I think he should stay because I feel like he will, if he's good enough to get drafted this year, but he will definitely be drafted higher next year, provided he has the same type of season.
Yes. I agree. I don't know. Prior to NIL, I was always, the NCAA doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
Go get your money. If you're going to be like a first or a second round pick, just go. If you're going to be a third or later, maybe stay. But I don't know. Who knows? I think J.J. McCarthy has some interesting decisions to make. Watch him just hit the transfer portal.
That would be fucking wild. Jesus Christ. That would send so many people into absolute panic and chaos mode. And I think if he even mentioned the portal to Harbaugh, Harbaugh would immediately call up his agent or literally any NFL team and be like, yo, who's got a spot open for me?
Yeah, I would run it by Harbaugh first, but I would 100% jokingly mention the portal in an interview after.
That would be great.
Like if someone goes, oh, so like you can go to the draft. Have you put any thought into it? He's like, just go, yeah, you know, I'm not sure. Obviously, I love this team. I love what we built. I think we can run it back next year. The draft's an option. It'd be great to live out my lifelong dream of playing in the NFL. The transfer portal, obviously, really gives a lot of options here just to see how people react.
Yeah, just watch panic scribbles down on pieces of paper. And actually, that brings up another interesting point. With everything surrounding the Michigan program this year, do you think Harbaugh, after, you know, on January 9th or 10th, goes to the NFL? Like, do you think he has something lined up and they're just waiting to drop it, or do you think he stays if he wins?
I don't know, because I don't know what deal he made with the NCAA.
It's true.
He could have said, like, I'll leave after this. I don't care. They seem to drop their investigation very quickly, which it could be the new NCAA, but it's not something I expect from the NCAA. So who knows? I think that will also impact JJ McCarthy's decision. If Harbaugh goes to the NFL, he'll probably just declare for the draft.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see. I don't know why I was about to lie. I don't give a shit what JJ McCarthy does. I think he's intrigued
more than excited.
Yeah. Like, I think he's a good college quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he beat Alabama. He played very well. So this isn't me being, I was much lower on him going into that game, by the way.
Yeah. No, he showed out.
Yeah, they were talking about he had all the talent before the game, and I said to my girlfriend, I'm like, is that talent in the room with us right now? I didn't think he was a very talented quarterback. I still don't, by the way. I think he's good. I think some of those throws proved me wrong. He made some fantastic throws while getting fucking crushed at points.
Yeah.
So he's more talented than I thought, but people are talking about him like he's the second coming of fucking Tim Tebow, it feels like.
Not the best comparison I would want to be associated with Tebow. Like, I know Tebow was a good quarterback, but I wouldn't put him.
He was a great college quarterback.
He was
top 10, like, all time.
Really? Like, yes. Is that what you like believe, or is that what you just think? Is like that's statistical proof that he's like number 10 on every list?
Both.
All right.
I don't know about statistically, but a lot of people have him ranked up there.
I mean, he was, don't get me wrong, I loved watching him play. It was, you know, kind of fun to see. This is going to sound like a bold take, but he was like the first, I feel like what I'm about to say is just too much, but I'm going to say it anyway, just to get it off my chest. I feel like he was the first NFL style running quarterback. Cause like, and not to like discount anybody who like the Michael Vicks and, you know, the Michael Vicks of the world who were phenomenal scramblers and things like that. But like, I felt like a lot of the plays at Florida were designed around him running the ball. And again, that's looking back 10, 15 years. So it's a very rose colored glasses look at his career, but I don't know, that's just a personal feeling.
This is Randall Cunningham erasure, and I will not stand for it.
I apologize.
he went through too much. Also, by the way, 247's top five, or 247's top five college quarterbacks all time. Number five, Case Keenum. Number four, Baker Mayfield. I'm sorry, interesting choice, not going to lie.
Yeah.
He was electric, but not sure.
Johnny Manziel, number one.
He was 25.
Love it.
Number three, Vince Young. Number two, Tommy Frazier, Nebraska. And Tim Tebow at number one.
That's a hell of a list.
Bleacher Report, top three, because I don't feel like clicking the link. Matt Leinart at three, Tommy Frazier at two, Tim Tebow at one.
Wow. All right, fair enough.
And, okay, this one is rankers, so the one you can click up or down on it, and yeah, like people will rank it themselves. Number five, Roger Staubach. Number four, Peyton Manning. Number three, Joe Burrow. He had one good year. Calm down. Number two, Dan Marino. Fine. And number one, also Tim Tebow. So, yeah, Tim Tebow. And you brought up his running. All they were talking about pregame was J.J. McCarthy making plays with his legs.
There you go.
I was like, guys, like, he's good. I don't know if I'd say he's a great runner. He's a good runner. He's athletic. But I don't know. I'm excited, though, for the Super Mario Bowl that is Wario versus Mario in the national championship. Going into it, though, do you think the committee got the four teams right, Kiernan, after we had our semifinal games?
Yes, they absolutely did. Because both of those games were so much fun to watch. They weren't necessarily the highest scoring. And I say that with a massive caveat to the Washington-Texas game. It was like 37-34 or whatever the final score was.
Yeah.
But like, those were fun games. Like they had everything. They had great defense. They had special teams. They had phenomenal runs. They had great passing. I mean, it was if they could not have gotten a better Final Four with that. And it also, you know, maybe we'll talk about it in a second, but it also goes to show that certain teams should not have been in there in the first place.
Yeah, we could talk about both at once. I agree. I think we have to wait until after the national championship. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people who say TCU didn't deserve to be one of the four teams. They made it to the national championship. Clearly, they deserve to be there. And then promptly got blown out. So there might be a blowout, but I still think those were two great games.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, my team did not come out on top, but still a great game, objectively. I can admit that.
Yeah.
There were some great throws, some horrendous center play, which, well, we're going to fucking talk about this now.
All right.
Okay, I'm putting off. We'll talk about Florida State getting blown out and still talking shit, how they should have been in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
But you are Alabama. You are known for your offensive line play. Offensive line, defense, and running game are your three calling cards. How the fuck do you have a center who can't snap the ball? Like, this is literally the first touchdown of the year, by the way, Kiernan, for Alabama. Seth McLaughlin, I still can't say his name. I struggled to say his name all game because I was so pissed. Put the ball at Milroe's feet. First touchdown of the season. And he can't fucking figure it out. We don't have a better center. And this is Reddit, so don't fully trust their acumen when it comes to game film. But someone on Reddit posted that Alabama had 66 total offensive plays. 32 snaps were classed as off target, meaning they were either at Milroe's feet low enough to require him to significantly lower his body, or were wildly off to the right. And then one or two snaps that Milroe was either calling an audible, hot routing, signaling the Mike linebacker, whatever, that he just snapped it. So about half of the fucking snaps were terrible.
Wow, that's wild. That is a wild thing to listen to. Because, like, you're a college center. You have to be, you're getting ready for the NFL draft, or you're getting ready to be a professional, and you are fucking it up.
Yeah, he hit the transfer portal today.
That does not at all surprise me. He's going to Rice University next.
No, apparently a bunch of teams have contacted him. A lot of SEC teams. Like two SEC teams and a lot of Power 5 teams.
So they haven't watched his tape then? They just did not pay attention?
I saw some people who are like, yeah, it sucks that he's going to be remembered for this one game. My brother in Christ, it's been happening all year. Like, well, yeah, I didn't watch every game. I didn't watch him that closely, or every Alabama. Okay, so don't say he's going to be remembered for this one game and Alabama fans are overreacting. Now, there are also some reports that people leaked his address and he was getting death threats. That's a bit much, guys. Yeah. Come on. Calm down.
You can slag him on podcasts and statistical blog posts or whatever you want, but you don't actually threaten the kid.
Yeah. However, I did say they should leave him in Pasadena.
Which is...
And I also said, and I'm going to bleep this part out.
Yikes.
So I was obviously not thrilled. I would never actually say that to him. I hope he lives a long, happy, healthy life. But long, happy, healthy life with use of both legs. I hope he has. But, yeah, so it was fucking brutal. It was brutal. terrible to watch. Actually, my stepbrother texted me middle of the game. Hey, is Alabama going to win? It's for a bet. And it was right after he had had like two or three bad snaps in a row. And I was like, probably not. Our center just lost us the game.
Yeah.
It was like the second quarter.
Yeah. And I got to say, I feel real stupid for what I said yesterday or last week. He said about like getting betting against Alabama is, you know, a stupid decision. I look foolish now.
So some people are also calling for Saban to leave.
Yeah, I saw that too. It's interesting.
I don't want to agree with them. I don't agree with them. However, the past 2 years, this has become a recurring issue that whenever we get going, someone fucks up. Our center delivers the ball on the ground 3 yards to the right of the quarterback while he's calling a hot route or something. We have a false start, 12 men on the field, something like that. And it's fucking inexcusable.
Yeah.
It needs to tighten up. I've talked about how Nick Saban has been showing his softer side lately. He needs to get on these guys' asses and fucking deliver them to the standard.
Yeah.
He talks about the standard. Mm-hmm. Fucking have your guys follow the standard.
Yeah, I mean, it does look like there is a massive lack of discipline from Alabama, especially in recent years, like ever since COVID. And not specifically the COVID year, but like after COVID, it has taken a, I would say, drastic decline. Because like I always knew Saban's teams as, yeah, they might lose one game to like Georgia or, you know, an offshoot LSU that's just had an incredible season. Sure, they might. But in terms of overall performance, Alabama doesn't fuck up ever. Right. The other team just simply outplayed them on 1 week of 1 year, and that was it. And now I'm thinking like, this is getting ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have the talent to be in these games, but their fuck ups are causing them to lose games now. And it's becoming multiple times a year. Look, if you are playing Middle Tennessee State in their first game and you have a lot of penalties, that's fine. Is Middle Tennessee clean it up? You shouldn't be having these mental penalties during the fucking Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a rough weekend for me. Rougher weekend.
Me too. Yeah. Both of us.
Yeah. Well, I was talking also just that game, but Penn State also did lose.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
Disappointment was inevitable, to be brutally honest with you, but we just capitulated in the second half. We like in the first half we were losing, and I think it was only by three at the half. It might have been seven, I'm not quite sure, but we weren't losing by that much, and I was like, all right, we're in this game. Like, we just need to come out, you know, sharpen a few things up, sharpen a few passes up, you know, and I think we should be good. We'll at least hold them to maybe a field goal late in the fourth. But it was in the second half, it just looked like Penn State completely collapsed. Like, their defense was still fine throughout the whole game, but the offense couldn't get anything going. And I do think that's partially on Drew Aller just as a younger QB. But like, come on, man. You've had all season, you've played both halves with no issue. Like, let's do something, right? Like, let's put it together. You've capitulated at the times where you absolutely cannot do it, you know, against Ohio State, against Michigan, and now against Ole Miss, right? They're top caliber teams and they're ranked, and you know, they're good teams, and you're just proving to either the fans or the playoff committee that we really don't deserve a spot next year come down to it. You know, there are teams that were behind us at 15 and 16, or maybe that's too harsh, but you know, there are teams behind us that I'm not going to say put on better bowl games, but they looked better throughout the year. They had more consistency at the very least.
That's fair. Yeah, it was a brutal weekend for both of us. Also a brutal weekend for Florida State.
Yeah, fuck them.
Affair.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that. We can just move on to the next topic.
But also, I do want to talk about Florida State fans are still saying, well, we should have been in the Rose Bowl. My brother in Christ, you just lost by 60. The Rose Bowl went to overtime.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, you don't get to do any talking when you lose by 60 points. I don't care how good your regular season was. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it goes to show that Georgia could have been in the Rose Bowl, certainly, but not Florida.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think if Florida was in the Rose Bowl, I feel like we might be talking about a Washington-Georgia national championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, Georgia, you should have fucking won the SEC championship if you wanted to play Michigan.
Yeah.
Or actually, they probably would have been playing Texas.
Yeah, probably.
So Georgia won, they'd be one. Michigan would be two. Washington three. Still could be talking about a Texas or a Washington Georgia national championship that way.
That would have been wild.
But nope, we had Alabama in there because they won the SEC championship, and Texas also lost. So we have a Washington Michigan national championship, and we're gonna pick that game.
Can we just do one quick one? The Goodyear Cotton Bowl, ha ha ha! Ohio State and Ryan Day, that was pathetic. At least Penn State put up 25 points. That was abysmal. That was the worst bowl game. It was even worse than the Orange Bowl, to be honest with you. Like, just all around, it was shit.
Yeah,
partially Mizzou's fault, but that's. We're gonna gloss over that fact.
Does Ryan Day have a job next year?
Mm-mm. Nope, he does not.
I disagree. I think he does have a job next year. I just don't think that job is in Columbus.
Fair enough.
Unless like the Columbus Domino's is hiring and they need a delivery driver.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's a valid take.
No, I think someone will probably bring him in to be like an offensive coordinator or something. And then who knows? Maybe some team whose coach is already on thin ice will hire him to then have him take over when they inevitably fire their coach.
Yeah, that's probably the best.
But Kieran, do you want to do score predictions as well? We haven't done them all year.
Yeah, why not? Make it fun.
Just for the natty. So, the national championship. I don't even know what bowl game it is this year.
Don't even think it is one. It's just the national championship.
It usually is a bowl game, I thought. I thought they called it a bowl game. Nope. It's being played in... Oh, no, I'm just dumb. It's being played at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. Michigan is a 4.5-point favorite with an over-under of 56. Kiernan, who do you have?
I'm torn a little because as much as I want like a Pac-12 team to win it because their conference is dying, I think it would be great for them. I have to kind of side with the Big Ten in this and going to go with Michigan. I think the Michigan defense is going to be able to hold Washington's kind of high-powered offense to, like, say about 27 points. So it's going to be 32-27 Michigan.
That's fair. I get that. I'm going to go with Washington.
Good.
I think that Texas front seven is no laughing matter. Michigan is obviously better, but Texas is damn good as well. Washington did fine against them. Michigan needed Seth McLaughlin to beat Alabama in overtime. Without Seth McLaughlin, with a competent center, we win that game.
That's probably fair.
So I think Washington Center is competent.
I'm
going to go.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. So.
I'm going to go Washington 28, Michigan 23.
All right, nice. That's going to be a fun one. Like I'm watching all the broadcast, all the pregame. You know, I'm watching everything for that. That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, that is going to be fun. Now,
did you see the support map of like who wants Washington versus Michigan to win the Natty? It's just the entire United States is Washington, and just Michigan area is good for the state.
Good.
Yeah.
Now that we've talked about our misery and the national championship, we're going to go to a lighter topic. We're talking about bowl games and edible mascots. We've heard for years, and I've also argued, that bowl games are meaningless now. Mm-hmm. If it's not a college football playoff game, nobody cares. And I think the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and to a lesser extent the Cheez-It Bowl, kind of showed us that bowl games can still have meaning. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've had great games in bowl games. Nobody knows what those games were. Mm-hmm. Have bowl games been too serious, I think, is really what it comes down to.
I think, yeah, probably. I think the companies and the CEOs and all the staff that are like hosting these games, I think are trying too hard to keep them relevant in an era where they just aren't. Apart from the expanded playoff, and in terms of who gets the bowl, you know, the New Year's Six bowls are going to be important and all that jazz. Apart from those ones, I would like to see the other bowl games. And this is tough to do because, you know, each team has different records every year. But, like, I'd like to see it more like the rivalry week that you get at the end of the season, where it's like two teams that are still invested in winning the whatever prize or trophy is at the end of it, right? It's, you know, Penn State with the Land Grant trophy. It's the Red River Shootout. It's the, you know, any sort of rivalry. I think that would be a lot of fun. Obviously you can't have rivals. They just have to actually perform the same, but I think that type of pomp and circumstance with the bowl games would make them more fun and more fun to watch as a viewer.
That's fair. So you want to make them a little bit more legitimate, have cooler trophies, things like that, kind of have them show off.
Not even like cooler trophies, just have the acceptance from both teams and the people organizing it and all that jazz as this doesn't matter, but we're going to still have fun with it. That type of
a little more pageantry.
Yes. There you go.
I agree with you. But I also want, because let's be honest, having someone dance around in a mask in a Pop-Tarts costume all game and then having them be lowered into a toaster and then a edible Pop-Tart comes out looking like the mascot is unhinged as shit.
Yeah. But also funny.
I want unhinged.
Yeah, so just go over the top.
Like, just shit like that. Edible mascots, perfect.
I've got one. I know we were talking about this earlier, but I have to say it or else I'll forget it. You were saying how we want more pomp and circumstance in these games. When you make Cheez-Its, you have to, you know, make a dough and put all the ingredients in it. On the sideline at halftime, you get a conveyor belt that starts with the mask, the cheese ball dough mascot at one end, and at the other end zone is the finished product that somebody gets to eat. Just make it like the Pop-Tart Bowl, but make it way more over the top.
Yes, or like also the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Nobody cares about that, but they love seeing some cream dumped on their winning coach.
Yes.
Also, just off the top of my head, bowl games I want to see. The Charles Entertainment Cheese Bowl.
Yes.
Halftime performance is The Rat. It is animatronic buddies. Yeah. It's just, And if you can, try to give it the vibes of a Chuck E. Cheese, not like a modern Chuck E. Cheese, because I'm assuming they're cleaner now and look decent. I haven't been in one in 20 plus years.
Yeah, but you want the unhinged crackhead energy, like Chuck E. Cheese.
Like the late 90s, early 2000s Chuck E. Cheese, where you're like, yeah, my kid might get hepatitis in the ball pit. But that means I don't have to watch them for half an hour. So go at it, kid. Go have fun. Shit like that. Ken, where are some of the bowl games we want to see?
In terms of like, I'm trying to think of like some unhinged mascots that you could throw in there. Well, you could do one with the new publicly available Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie. You could do a bowl game with that because it's now open to the public. That would be fun. Just an L.A. Noir type black and white bowl game. And it's, and the teams have to wear black and white jerseys.
The Steamboat Willie Bowl, just see Disney's lawyers try to argue it.
Yeah, perfect. It's public domain.
That'd be
now.
Fun. Yeah. Trying to think.
I have a new one. The avocados from Mexico Bowl replace the football with just a giant avocado. Perfect. Genetically engineer it to make it massive and chuck that around for four quarters.
Perfect. Is the Outback Bowl still a thing? I forget. They changed all the bowl games a couple years ago.
I didn't see.
No, it's now the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Ugh, boring.
Yeah, no. All right, so we're going to fix that. All right, Karen, ready? We're going to bring back the Outback Bowl.
Good.
But we are going to really turn into the Australia part. I want fucking kangaroos and wallabies on the sidelines.
I like where this is going.
I want maybe not poisonous animals, but, you know, maybe some snakes, a gator or a croc here or there.
Fair.
Just some dude in shorts and a Hawaiian shirt, flip flops, and a Foster's, just grilling.
Yeah,
outside one of the end zones.
Yeah, the and I'm gonna go with the avocado ball thing. You replace the ball with a boomerang, and chuck it down the field. See who gets it. There you go.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, there's ways to make bowl games maybe not have meaning, but be more fun, so people still want to be there.
I just thought of another one randomly just because I looked over at the bowl schedule. The Verbo Fiesta Bowl, frankly, dreadful that Tostitos stopped sponsoring that or Verbo won the contract or whatever. Bring back the Tostitos and put 5 yards on either side of the middle of the end zone as a vat of salsa. And if you are able to dive in and catch a ball in that, you get it automatically counts as a 2-point conversion on top of the touchdown.
Ooh, that's a good idea. I'm trying to think of some other weird companies to sponsor a bowl game.
It's just how quickly can we think of ideas? That's basically what this has become.
Yeah, that's really it.
Dunkin' Donuts Splash Bowl.
Maybe.
You change the goalposts into a giant XL cup of hot coffee, and if the kicker can get it in there, it's a touchdown or worth the touchdown. But it has to go up and over. It has to go up and over, so it can't just like go through.
That's true. That's a good one. Just have any celebrity or any alcohol company sponsor a bowl game, and Ben Affleck can be there, just drunk on the sidelines. I think that'd be fun. Just see how long it takes him to wander out onto the field.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, I shouldn't pick Ben Affleck. He's in recovery.
Sponsor that isn't in recovery. So Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, or Mel Gibson. Even if he is in recovery, he's a piece of shit. So
There you go.
Mel Gibson. See how long it takes him to go into an anti-Semitic rant. That'd be a good one. The Mexican cartel can sponsor a bowl game.
Yeah, the Avocados from Mexico Bowl. Oh, I am so dead.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's been lovely talking with you, Kevin, but I have pissed off the wrong people.
Yeah, the Pablo Escobar Cocaine Bowl, presented by Tim Allen. People forget Tim Allen was arrested for dealing cocaine.
I knew there was something involving him in cocaine, but I forgot what it was.
The good old man who wants traditional family values is bringing crack to your neighborhood. Just like the CIA.
I was going to say the same thing.
Well, Kiernan's pissing off the cartel. I'm pissing off the CIA. So,
oh, you're
so. Who knows if there's an episode next week? We might be both in unmarked shallow graves. Just right next to each other. Real awkward while the CIA is burying me, the cartel's burying Kiernan. They just look at each other. And then go back to their work.
Yeah, it's just I just thought of another one because I'm looking at it now. So the famous Idaho Potato Bowl will now be the Fighting Irish versus the Fighting Illini, and just really hammer home the Irish stereotypes.
Perfect, love it.
And only those two teams can participate.
Whether
they're bowl eligible or not, they're playing in that one.
I was going to say, if one of them or both of them aren't bowl eligible, would we just not have that game that year?
No.
Or would
you
they
have
still
to have
just
it.
Both
play? Doesn't matter. One
okay, they both play in it.
They have to play. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Perfect. So, yeah, that's our show. Our show, as always. I'm trying to put a little buffer in between that conversation. And this episode is brought to you by Yeats. Enter Yeats official promo code tailgate for 10% off your order. Great sunglasses for going to the beach. I think they have ski goggles on there, going on a date night, trying to go undercover and avoid the CIA and Mexican cartel. All your needs fit perfectly. We will be back next week to recap the national championship and then probably go on a short break. I'm hoping not to do a full off-season break. I don't know how that's going to work, what we're going to do, but I got to take a short breaky break to move, and then, I don't know, maybe we'll be back. Kiernan, how do you feel about doing off-season episodes this year?
Yeah, we can do off-season episodes. There's always, especially with all the NIL deals and the transfer portal, I think we'll have plenty of material.
Yeah, we'll do stuff. All right, everyone have a good, safe, fun weekend. Hope you listened to my advice last weekend and did not get a DUI on New Year's Eve. If you did, have fun at your court date. And try to keep the streak going if you did listen. So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Steve.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?